Hey guys.
Hey.
Julia McCullough here.
Meg Malloy here.
On the ones and twos.
Oh.
Still don't know what that means exactly. Do you?
No.
What are the ones
it's like
and twos?
I think it's like a turntable thing.
It is, but why is it the ones and twos?
I don't know. I'm not a DJ.
I know beats per minute. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
I remember.
That's probably how it's meant to be.
Trent Reznor used to put his beats per minute on the jacket, the CD liner notes, so you knew how many beats per minute were in every Nine Inch Nails song.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I used to love Nine Inch Nails, and he would say like 228 BPM, and then another one would be like, you know, 112 BPM or whatever.
That's so funny. I didn't know that about you.
That I liked Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah.
He, you know, it's weird. That sound is kind of a time capsule. Like, it's not really, that's not a sound that is aged.
I know. You know what's funny? Maddie, my youngest sister,
mm-hmm.
who is 25?
I mean, how can you know?
I know. I have so many sisters. She's a baby still in my mind, but uh-huh. she loves Nine Inch Nails. And
right.
she definitely wasn't alive. She was alive, but she was like, what, mm-hmm. a tiny baby when they were having their major...
Yeah, they were like 93, I would say, was when...
was literally the year she was born.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? She's such an old soul. She loves them. She loves old Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's into all of that.
I saw... This is what we were going to talk about, but who cares? I mean, this is what the show is. But I saw one of my favorite concerts ever was... The Camden Waterfront in 1993, I saw Nine Inch Nails open for David Bowie.
Mm.
And I went to see David Bowie. Didn't know Nine Inch Nails at all.
Right.
I knew the shirts from the Scary Kids in school, but I didn't know.
I know. I remember being like, Nin, what is that? Ooh.
And they came out, and it was Bowie's Outside Tour, which mm-hmm. was a very experimental time in his musical career, and there were no, like, hooks or, you know, songs. It was, like, very cinematic, ambient-type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Nine Inch Nails came out, and they were in their young and hungry phase of just making the best album they were ever going to make, mm-hmm. Downward Spiral. And so they played that, and the set was just... The only lighting each member of the band had a strobe light directly over their own heads. So they would and then the strobe light
sounds nauseating.
I know it does a little bit, but it wasn't pointed to the crowd. So it wasn't, because that's what's nauseating to me is when you look into a strobe light.
No, I think having a strobe light over my head.
Oh, for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they had a lot of issues. They were in Nine Inch Nails at the time.
Yeah.
I just remember how effective that was. It was so cool. It was a pitch black stage, and then during certain drum sections of the song, the strobe light would match the drums over the guy. That was like, it was amazing. So they crush it, and I don't know how much of the people there were there to see Nine Inch Nails, but then Bowie came out, and it was pretty sad.
Yeah.
Because nobody really liked Outside, and, you know, it was rough. Yeah. But I remember I was like, I'm a Nine Inch Nails fan now. And I love that. I love when seeing a band live before you've ever heard them makes you into a fan. That happened to me with The Gossip, too.
That happened to me with The Gossip.
Get out of here.
I never really knew who they were, and I agreed to see them in very early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But had no clue who they were before I went to see them. And it was at like a shithole venue, too.
Well, they were never very big.
Yeah. But they're amazing.
I was at Bonnaroo, and I heard a voice that I was like, I love this voice. What is this? And I like walked toward it like a moth to a flame. And then I was like, who is? I was like so freaked out that I didn't know who they were. They were amazing.
Yeah.
And she was doing covers. She was just, they were singing like
her
soul,
voice
Aretha
is
Franklin type
insane.
Stuff.
Insane.
Yeah. She can like do it.
Yeah.
She sings an Aretha Franklin song and no one's mad.
Yeah. Her range is insane. Her looks are insane. Like she wears the best shit.
She's a goth queen.
She is. She is like, she's everything.
I don't know if she's still doing that, but she was when I saw her.
She wears like a lot of cool, quirky stuff and
Beth.
Beth Ditto.
Ditto, yeah.
Yeah.
Just if you're listening at home and you want to know who we're talking about.
Such a rock star.
Google Beth Ditto. She's got a great vibe.
Yeah. Her whole look is like vision board worthy.
You know what she has? She has that like insanely outsized presence of a true rock star. Like when they walk out, you're like, how does one person have all that? They have so much charisma that it's like literally filling up an entire stage.
Right. And I think also she's just so like unapologetically herself.
Well, that's what that is.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Not all of her looks are always super consistent, but it's you can always tell that it's coming from her. And I wish more people would do that. And I think a lot of people wanted to give Lady Gaga credit for doing that. And I was like,
I never got that larger than life rock star vibe from Lady Gaga.
No.
It was like she was trying really hard.
They're like, she's weird though.
I don't
like,
dislike
but
her.
Is she?
I don't dislike her, but she doesn't have that like front man thing that you need.
It didn't feel like it was coming from a place like it does with Beth Ditto.
Yeah.
Where it's like, she has to do this and like.
And this is a thing that I can give credit to, you know, I have no problem giving credit to people that I don't even like that have it.
Right.
You know, like Mick Jagger or whatever. You know, Mick Jagger
exactly.
absolutely has it and
just,
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but he has it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say Freddie Mercury had the most of it.
Yeah.
But I was never super into Queen either.
I know. That's unfortunate.
But I can see him having it.
Yeah. Queen, you know? Queen is pretty great.
And we all know who I think has the most of all time, but
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose, yeah.
Okay.
No, actually, I think David Bowie probably has the most of all time.
Yeah. I think he was the person who made that okay. And I'm not the first person to make that argument, definitely. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that is. I mean, David Lee Roth had it, and he's a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? So it's like this really weird, elusive, like, what? And I wonder what if when they're coming up as kids, you know, like if you're in class with this person, do you know that they have this? It's like it's such an elusive, strange, hard thing to describe.
Yeah.
And then they get out on a stage and they can fill a room with their presence. It's so weird.
That it factor and like picking every look and making it match who you are as an artist and how you want to present yourself. And I don't know, it's just, it's beyond visuals, but it does have a lot to do with the visuals.
It does, but it's also not intellectual. It's not something you can just like choose to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You're just born with it, I think.
Yeah.
I think
Ian Curtis had it. And
And Morrissey has it.
Morrissey does have it. Whether you like it or
Whether you like it or not.
Even if you think he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He has it. Ian Curtis had it, and he was, like, obsessed with David Bowie when he was younger.
Yeah. Who's the one? Somebody like that, like, worshipped David Bowie that you wouldn't think. I think it was Axel. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You know who didn't have it was, I don't think, and you can get mad at me or whatever, but I don't think Robert Smith has that.
I think you're so fucking wrong.
I've never seen him live.
Let's bring the guest on. I'm done talking to you. This conversation's finished.
Well, listen, that's a perfect mansplain problem because I've never seen The Cure live.
You have. I am going to have a heart attack right now.
So he does have it. That's great.
He is himself.
Okay.
He's absolutely himself, and he's not trying to appeal to any certain person. He's just being his, like, sensitive,
but
artistic.
Does he fill the stage with like this undeniable presence?
Yes.
Well, then that's
fine.
He has
this gorgeous choir boy voice that comes out of this like.
It's got nothing to do with voice. It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff.
It doesn't, but it's everything.
Yeah.
He has created this. I mean, he created that look. He is. I'm just horrified by you right now.
I guess I should have phrased that. I do this a lot, and I have to work on this in my personality. I do.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I will be asking a question of someone, and it comes out as a declarative statement. So really, I was asking you if Robert Smith had it.
Yes, he has it!
Okay!
Yes,
but
he has it.
But it came out. You know who doesn't have it? That Robert Smith. That's me asking you.
That's you being very Jersey about
That's
it.
That's me
you
asking
you. Know who doesn't have it? That fucking Robert Smith guy. I don't think he fucking
and
has it.
Say,
why don't you fucking tell me why he fucking has it?
Yeah, and then you do, and then I go, oh, okay. Sounds like he has it.
He does have it.
It's like that Colin Quinn bit when, you know, hey, nice day today, huh? Yes or no?
He does have it.
Our guest today has it?
He has it.
I think he has it. Let's say he has it.
He knows who he is.
He definitely knows who he is. You know what he has? He has a calm, he's comfortable in his own skin. He's very solid. He's very still.
Yeah.
And I respect that about
him.
Yeah. He's a stand-up comedian, and he is extremely funny. His jokes are fantastic.
Yeah.
And he also has what turns out to be one of the nicest voices we've ever had on this show.
I know. I mean, I always thought he had a nice voice, but then into the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you have headphones right now, throw them on.
Yeah.
And get ready to listen to Kevin Kamiya. Were you not ever into Elvis?
I was never a huge Elvis person. Were you into Elvis?
Yeah.
I feel like either you were all the way or no, not really. There's no toe dipping.
I'm the exception.
There's no toe dipping with Elvis.
I've been toe dipping in Elvis my whole life. I kind of like him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really like him, but music-wise, I don't. It's like a few.
I had to go to Vegas and see an impersonator live on stage do Elvis. And I was like, man, this guy must have been amazing.
What do you mean had to? Was this a court ordered?
One of these shows. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was with my mom. She wanted to see the show.
Oh, okay. So it was a love ordered.
Yeah. But then I saw this impersonator and he was, oh man, this guy blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then I met him afterwards, you know.
And you were like nervous?
I was all shy. I was like kicking my feet. Yeah. Hi there. He was like, how you doing, son? And I was like,
He stays in character. Like, yeah, of course he stays in character.
I said, this guy's awesome. So I started watching all kinds of stuff, listening.
I wonder if there's like
doing an Elvis deep dive.
I wonder if there's like a pro accepted like best Elvis out there right now. I wonder if there's like the guy that all the impersonators are like, that's the guy.
Probably there's like that. There's probably competitions, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't there a documentary about that?
I think I would be more interested in an Elvis impersonator documentary than Elvis.
There's got to be.
They have that.
There has to be. Mm-hmm. I think that's more fascinating than the guy himself.
Yeah.
I do love that he died while he was taking a dump, right?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, he was on the toilet. Yeah.
What a wild way to go.
I know. And he had food with him. He had a plate of food. That's he was eating on the toilet.
Everybody knows all your darkest secrets.
I know.
When you die eating a sandwich on the toilet, everyone knows you're a gross person.
But his poop was in the shape of a heart in the toilet. At the end,
yeah,
he was a professional.
Yeah.
So, hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Oh, we're starting?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, we're going to use all of that. That was great.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good stuff.
I'm going to get the race thing right out of the gate.
Jesus, yeah, Julian. Yeah.
Well, people can't tell listening at home that you're different.
That's one way to put it.
No, here's the real reason I'm bringing this up. Are you Filipino?
I'll do my bio right now.
Are you Filipino?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here's why I bring it up. Bruno Mars, 100%. Also.
Half Filipino,
and Elvis impersonator when he was 5 years old.
That's true.
And I thought maybe that's why your mom wanted to go.
Yes.
Because she was a Bruno Mars fan since she was 5 years old.
Yeah.
You guys got all nervous, like I was being racist, and then boom, connect the dots, baby.
That's incredible.
Also, did you know Filipinos is spelled with an F?
Yes.
I thought it was PH my whole life.
Some people will write PH, and that's totally wrong.
It's incorrect. Yeah. It's
incorrect.
Insensitive.
But it feels right.
Also, there's no F in the alphabet of the Philippines. So if you're really hardcore Filipino, I'm not. But I mean,
then you're just an Ilipino?
No, that's good too. But they would write with a P.
Oh.
P-I-L-I-P-I-N-O.
Oh, Filipino.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
There's a thing with Filipino Americans here, you know, they go to college and they learn about their identity and all this kind of stuff, and they have all this pride, and then they identify themselves as Filipino.
Mm.
Oh, because there's no F.
Because there's no F.
That makes sense, though.
I guess.
That doesn't seem that extreme to me.
Yeah.
To be like, we don't have this letter.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not going to use it for
we're
you.
We're not going to use it.
Yeah.
I hung with a very Filipino crew in New York.
You did.
Oh. That's right.
My boss, Joy, the owner of the salon that I worked at for several years, she's Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
my friend Julian,
mm-hmm.
not the Julian I'm talking to right now, mm-mm. and my friend Tim, and...
Oh, I didn't know Tim was also Filipino.
Tim's also half Filipino. And so they
all different
used
shapes and
all
sizes.
This, like, slang and stuff.
Huh?
And, like, they used all these words, and I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, Pinoy, right?
Oh, Pinoy. Yeah. That's like, Filipino. It's like
that means
Filipino.
That means Filipino?
Yeah.
Okay, there's another word I'm thinking of.
No, there's like Pinoy, Pinay.
Pinay, maybe that
one? Yeah, that's for women.
Yeah, okay.
Pinoy is for boys.
Oh, okay.
Men.
Mm-hmm. Pinoy, boy. That's easy to remember.
There you go.
They love, God, what was that?
Gambling.
They do. They do. Joy used to always talk about how her mom just wanted to live her life at the slots.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
She loves slot machines. And I love that.
Yeah.
And, like, I could get into that.
Cigarettes, I feel like, are big.
Cigarettes?
No.
Yeah. Well, I would say in the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
you'll see kids smoking cigarettes for sure.
Yeah.
So tough.
So heartwarming.
Yeah, these kids.
Is that hardcore Filipino?
Yeah.
You said you're not hardcore Filipino. What does that mean? How would I recognize a hardcore Filipino?
Well, that I'm not too sure. I do consider myself Filipino. Like, there's some Filipinos that don't consider themselves.
Oh, okay.
That won't even identify.
Gotcha.
You know.
Because they grew up here or whatever?
Rude.
Yeah.
How rude.
Exactly. But I know who I am, you know. I'm proud of it. I'm Filipino American.
And we know who you are. You're Kevin Camilla, comedian.
I'm Kevin
and thanks
Camilla.
For coming
I've
on the show.
I've been doing stand-up comedy for 18 years. I started in San Francisco, California.
are you full Filipino or half? Or
full.
You're full. Okay.
Yeah.
And San Francisco, 18 years.
Stand-up comedy, yes.
Yeah. Did you grow up in San Francisco?
Born in San Francisco.
That's where all my Filipino people are from.
Yeah.
There's a huge population there, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Were you in San Francisco from the years 1985 to 1991?
No.
Oh, well, that's because that was my San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That was my town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I basically was born there. I basically left.
For my tenure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Julian was like, get out.
Yeah.
And I came back in 91.
Okay.
And stayed there.
Ships in the night.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Good. It's good to be here.
Pressure's on because your lady, Meryl Davis,
mm-hmm. oh.
was a huge hit.
Yeah, we were. She was on
favorite.
The show. One of the best.
One of the best
we've ever
How
had.
How was that?
And we've had four
How's that
episodes.
Judged?
No, everybody was sending
he
us
goes,
like,
"How is that judged?"
Who judged it?
No, we had. I generally judge it by like the amount of outreach and like people that email us or DM us or send us like playlists. And a lot of people were like, "Man, she really reminded me of the summer that I blah 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 blah." We got mm-hmm. a lot of cool stories. People were asking us if we had heard this song or that song. So she really bumped up our engagement. So thank you, Meryl.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's great.
She's great. She's also staring at us right now.
Yeah, looking at me through this window.
She's a fun little firecracker.
Well, I hope to do as good or better.
You know,
can I do better? Probably not.
Look, I don't want to...
What kind of... You wouldn't really be a gentleman if you did that now, would you?
Yeah. So you... Why did you leave San Francisco for exactly the years that I was there?
Just the family moved up to Santa Rosa,
in
Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to high school in Sacramento.
Oh,
okay.
So that's it. They just had to move. But I went back
you
for
You ever go to Fairy Tale Land in Sacramento?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cute.
Used to go.
Huh?
You used to go?
I took my daughter and my sister, and we all went last time I did the Punchline.
Oh.
Yeah. It was fun.
That's sweet.
It's a really cool little thing. It's like the most adorable, it's like a teeny, teeny, tiny, teeny, tiny Disneyland. It's like hard to explain, but it's like really cute for toddlers, and I don't know why more places don't have stuff like that, but yeah. What was the...
Sweet.
What are the Sacramento bands? Aren't there, like, a couple of Sacramento bands?
Yeah. There's one. Or there's a few. There was Tesla. Remember Tesla?
Oh, Tesla. Oh.
Signs, signs everywhere. Signs. Yes.
Yeah, breaking up the scenery, breaking my mind. That's not, and that's a cover, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
Still, the only one I know.
That was the big Tesla song.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was from
that? That was on. That came out in peak when I was watching MTV, and I would have to wait for that video to be over to watch Guns N' Roses.
Who else was there? Well.
Can you think of a nerdier name for your band than after a guy who invented electricity or whatever the fuck that guy did?
Or whatever the fuck that guy did. No, I can't.
Yeah,
I really
that's pretty
can't.
Nerdy. Like, name your band Einstein, dorks.
What are dorky band names? That's a good one. That's
yeah.
That's a fun. That's a fun game to play.
Dorky ones? Yeah. Weezer. You know, a kid with asthma.
Yeah.
That's what I always,
right.
Yeah.
But I think that's what they're going for.
Right.
They're like, oh, we're such nerds.
We rock. Whoops, did we melt your face?
I hope Sean O'Connor's listening right now.
Tesla, did you have another one in mind?
Well, of course, there's Cake.
Oh, I didn't know they were from Sacramento.
Yes.
That's why you smiled at me.
Yeah.
That gentle, knowing smile.
That's not why.
We asked you what your soft spot was. You said Cake. We got excited.
Yeah. I thought you guys knew that and you were setting that up.
No, we did no
we
research.
We didn't know that.
Really?
We listened to the songs, but we didn't do like a thorough Wikipedia read.
We dove face first into some Cake on the way here, but we didn't like look them up. So I didn't know. I thought they were from Orange County. They seem like an Orange County type band.
Right. But I think he started the band in Sacramento. Very California.
No one
band.
Think, right? Did you For ever sure. think Cake would be anywhere but from California?
I feel like I knew that, but I don't think I knew exactly where.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Cake, I'm so glad you picked Cake because they are a band that have always been I've been fascinated by them, you know, since the early mid-90s when they came out. Mm-hmm. But never, like, was like, I'm going to listen to Cake
I had a
on
couple
my
albums
own all the time.
I forgot how good they were. When we started listening, I was like...
This is good.
I was like, good. This is really good.
Yeah.
I definitely had, I want to say, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard so much... I'm like, this is where LCD Sound System got their whole shit. So we just got our Green Chef box.
A Green Chef box.
Last week, and we got the vegetarian box, and you cooked.
I cooked. For the first time?
Pretty much.
Since one of the first times I ever cooked for you, which was a disaster.
In almost 3 years.
Yeah.
This dude's never cooked for me, but he did it with this box.
Which was better, with the box or on my own?
I'm going to never not let you cook without the box. Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow lifestyles with select organic ingredients, and the recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along. Everything is hand-picked and delivered right to your door. And everything's, like, pre-measured, which I think was one of the things that maybe you struggled with in the past.
Definitely.
But they did it all for you.
I noticed when I was making it that the times and the directions mm-hmm. all sync up. So if you just keep going and do the next thing as soon as you finish the last thing,
yeah.
everything comes out on time at the same time. And I had no idea that that was going to work. And then I felt like I was freaking out the whole time. And then when I was done, I had a perfect dinner.
It was great.
It was crazy.
It's a great, like, resolution for 2019 if you're trying to simplify your life and make mm-hmm. things a little easier. And, you know, you just will know that you will have a great meal that is easy to make with delicious ingredients, and you don't have to put any thought into it at all. Green Chef is a USDA-certified organic company. Meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, Mediterranean, Heart Smart, Lean and Clean, Keto, gluten-free, and omnivore. And I think that covers pretty much everything.
if you're not one of those...
I don't know what to tell you. It was great. I can't recommend it enough. It was truly delicious. Julian is not a chef, but no. It made him feel like a chef, and it made me feel like I was eating food prepared by a real chef.
Yeah, and you felt cared for.
I did.
Right?
So, dudes, if you're trying to step it up for your lady, mm-hmm. or ladies, if you're trying to step it up for your dude, whoever you're trying to step it up for.
Or if you're loving yourself and you just want to step it up for yourself.
Exactly. Go ahead and sign up for Green Chef.
For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/softspot. That's $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Go to greenchef.us/softspot. Go do it. It's great.
FabFitFun.
We're back.
I love FabFitFun so much.
I love talking about FabFitFun.
It's a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with full-sized fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box. Every box is guaranteed to have at least $200 in retail value, but every box I've gotten, mm-hmm. I think it's been closer to 400.
Wow.
Seriously.
I mean, it's like the whole box is the full-size candy for when you trick-or-treat.
Exactly.
You know, there's no fun size.
You're trying to hit all the houses with the full-size candy. Why would you go for bite-size?
It's like all those houses were in one box and it was FabFitFun.
I think that it's such a great gift to get for people. I got it for a few people for the holidays this year. I encouraged, my dad has a lot of like female employees, and it's good for dudes too, because mm-hmm. you've enjoyed yours.
I have.
And I think it's just a really great gift to give if you want to get a lot of bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. And if someone, if the people that you care about are into, you know, trying new products, it's kind of a great way to go.
You just used those eye patch things on the way to Vegas.
The black eye patches.
Yeah, you didn't warn me, and you just got in the car and then turned to me, and I screamed.
It's my new look. They take all of the puffiness out of your eyes. They're magic.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic value. Like I said, many products' individual value is more than the cost of the entire box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and add-ons with each box, or you can just be surprised with each box.
So sign up for FabFitFun today. FabFitFun boxes are amazing and always sell out. Use our code SOFTSPOT to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code SOFTSPOT to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. It's like you're making money. Go to FabFitFun.com and use our code SOFTSPOT to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
Okay, so yes, when I listen to a band or when I listen to songs, for a long time growing up, I wanted to be a music writer. I love music, mm-hmm. and I love trying to figure out who people are influenced by or who they have influenced. And going back and listening to Cake with my more adult ears, I was like, oh, LCD Sound System definitely snatched a little bit of this vibe. And, you know. And
by the way, your adult ears, they look, I mean, they look like 16.
They're still elfin shaped.
Your ears haven't aged a bit.
They keep getting bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think is that LCD connection is they're both kind of monotone-ish.
Mm-hmm.
The both of the singers are kind of monotone-ish. And
they do
just
a little talking over the music.
Yeah, it's like talk singing kind of thing.
Exactly.
I don't know how to talk about music like a real person, but the syncopation and the rhythm is very similar as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are you going to play a Cake song first or an LCD song first?
No, I'm not going to play an LCD song because that is not Kevin's soft spot.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe from now on, every time I say it, I'm going to whisper it like I do in the intro music. It's not his soft spot.
I've got wheels.
I remember this is the album that I had.
I've got tires that grind.
It's good stuff.
I really love their sound.
Yeah.
I think the reason I never really gravitated towards them more is because I love personal lyrics, and I don't feel like, and I could be wrong because I only really know like their major, and turns out they have like way more hits than I thought. Like, when we were listening to the top tracks, I'm like, oh, this was a hit. Oh, this was a hit. Oh, this was a hit. But, yeah, it just seemed, I respect them and I really like their sound, but I never, like, I'm like, I'm not learning about Mr. Cake. Or whoever it was.
When did you get into them? Like, how did you get into Cake?
I was into Cake when they first came out, like in the early 90s or something.
Yeah, 94 was the first album.
I think 94. And then what happened really was, is I'll try to make
Where
this.
Were you?
I was in the Bay Area. I was actually in San Francisco.
Okay.
And then, my mom had a stroke.
Okay? Oh, no.
I'm going to try to make this funny.
Okay.
She had a stroke, and then I was going to therapy because I was doing a lot of, I was having all these panic attacks that would last for like 6 months.
Wait, what?
Like 15, 20 minute panic attacks every day for 6 months.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy.
That's debilitating.
Yeah. So I talked to a therapist, and he said, here's what you can do. Stop smoking weed.
Uh-huh. Stop smoking weed.
I said, okay. And then...
what else you got?
So stop drinking, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Sleep, exercise, do something...
Stop sleeping and stop exercising?
Oh, no. Start exercising. Start exercising. Mm-hmm. And then do something that'll get you out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So I started doing stand-up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
So this was actually 2001.
Okay.
But I've liked Cake forever. Anyways... Mm-hmm. So one of the things that he was doing is you got to meditate. You got to do all those things. What I was doing, I was listening to Cake with the headphones on. And for some reason, this band helped me get through this, like, the worst time of my life.
That's wonderful.
That's what that's what we live to hear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were like ASMR for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would just sit there and listen, and something about his voice, for some reason.
He does have very calming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not boring.
And not boring.
No. We're not talking Natalie Merchant.
No.
shots fired.
No. And there's some times where it is, like, a lot of times it is poetic, and I can kind of sink into that. But something about how this band, their production of, it's just bass, drums, guitar, and then, like, some other guy that just plays trumpet or keyboards or something like that. But in all the songs, I swear to God, I could hear every instrument
being played. Yeah, they have a very good point.
Very simple production. Mm-hmm. So when I was zoning out and listening to having a panic attack, and I'd listen to it, like for this song,
I love this song.
Stick Shifts and Safety Belts. It's kind of a country song. I would just listen to the bass. It's all it is bass and drums, and here comes the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so simple.
And then it is really good and really simple.
It's like a Johnny Cash groove, yeah.
And all their songs start off real, real simple, and they just kind of grow kind of spontaneous, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, they all build up the same kind of way, which, I don't know, for some reason, it connects to me. It makes me feel good.
I consider this a huge compliment from myself.
From myself.
From myself. Yeah. This is a big compliment. When you can, their sound is very in the same, I'm doing a thing with my fingers to show that they're in the same range. There's not a lot of dynamic stuff going on from song to song. It's always the same sound.
Which, if you're executing it perfectly, is great.
Mm-hmm. It never feels repetitive to me, which is, that's the test, I think, of, you know, really great songwriting, is that you can have 15 songs that are in the same, you know, vocal range, instrument. You don't ever have to retune
your
guitar.
Well, it's like when you go to...
And then it's all sounds great. You never get
bored
of it.
Like when you go to a restaurant and you go versus a nice restaurant versus like a diner with 1,000 pages of things to choose from. If there are like 5 good things, it's kind of like that. It's like keep it simple and just do it right. And you don't need anything more than that.
Mm-hmm. There's a thing in music, if I happen to play a little bit, too.
Oh.
Yes, he's a bluegrass man. Yeah.
Did you bring your
bluegrass
guitar?
A lot of people don't know the real name of a banjo is bluegrass guitar.
Yeah. But there's a thing in music, and especially, like, back in the day when I'd play music before stand-up, I'd play bass guitar. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing about just being in the pocket.
I've heard that.
So you'd be in the pocket means like you're not doing too much. You're not going over the top. You're not doing
nothing. You're not overthinking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just kind of sticking there, sticking to the groove. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, open up a little bit.
Right.
Which means, yeah, play a few of those other funky notes.
That's when that little five notes. Spot pokes out of the pocket. You know what I mean? You can see a little finsky sticking out of there.
I think we'll call this episode Funky Notes.
Yeah. And you're like, is that little five spot going to spill out of there? Is it going to stay back in that pocket? And then I like that.
That's how I feel about this band. Mm-hmm. Like how they build their songs. They stay in the pocket. They open up a little bit. And then for me, going through whatever I was going through, I was like, yeah, you know, just... like I kind of live my life like that. Just like, I'm a chill. Mm-hmm. I'm chilling. And then every once in a while, do something else.
throw a little razzle-dazzle on it. But yeah,
a little razzle-dazzle.
A bassist that doesn't stay in the pocket is that Les Claypool. That guy.
Oh, that guy.
That guy's never seen a pocket.
Yeah. Too funky. He's super funky.
I love that story when he auditioned when the Metallica bass player died in the bus crash. And that's the sad part.
Oh, I did not know.
But they had to audition bass players. And Les Claypool came in and Metallica, like their faces dropped when he played. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, you're good, but you're not for us.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no way. Well, this was before he was less.
And then he made Primus after that. But yeah.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. They're in the pocket. They should have an album called In the Pocket. That sounds like a Cake album.
Are they still together?
I think so. Yeah, they still.
I saw
tour
on Spotify
around.
they're in England right now.
Yeah.
So they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They still tour around.
I gotta say, I feel like I don't watch a ton of TV. And I don't see a ton of movies because I hate going to the movie theater. But a well-placed Cake song happens
pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And I'm like, they must be swimming in a little bit of cash at this point. Mm-hmm. It's always very unexpected because, I don't know, I don't really listen to the radio anymore. I don't think that many people do. I think everybody listens to Spotify.
Well, the radio is four artists now.
Right.
You know.
But I'm like, wow. And throwbacks, too. Not always. Uh-huh. And I wish I could think of a concrete...
a single example.
Yeah, a single example. But I know that it happened as recently as a week ago, and I'm like...
Oh, you heard a Cake song?
I heard a Cake song, and I cannot think of what show it was. It was definitely on Netflix, because...
Oh, like a new show.
We are not trying to pay for cable.
Right.
And I remember I heard a Cake song, and I was like, good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Yeah.
Do you know much about them?
About the band themselves?
Yeah.
Well, I know the lead singer, the guy...
Do you know his name?
John McCrae.
Okay.
And then I know in high school... His wife was my substitute teacher.
Get the fuck out of here.
Really?
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So in high school, I remember there's this woman who was my substitute teacher.
Oh, because you were in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun.
And she was all cool. Mm-hmm. And she's like, wow, you play guitar. I'm like, yeah, I play guitar. You know, I'm like 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, yeah, my husband plays in band Cake. So I said, all right. So then I looked them up, and then she gave me something. She gave me, like, some kind of
what year was
studio
this?
Recording. This was back in... This was 91.
Oh, wow. So this is before their major label debut of any kind. Oh, that's so cool.
So that's there's a connection.
What did she give you? A demo?
She gave me, like, a demo tape.
Do you still have it?
No.
Did you listen to it?
I did.
A lot?
Yeah.
You liked it right away?
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Do you remember if there were songs from the first album on that demo tape?
The only one
I know is the hit, the Rock and Roll Lifestyle.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't Rock and Roll Lifestyle. I'm not too sure which one it was. It was only, like, a four-song kind of demo.
What does he look... I don't even want to Google him. Do you know what he looks like?
He's
or back
like
then in the 90s, what did he... Because I told her, I pictured a guy with a shaved head.
He pictures it wrong.
Uh-huh.
And like a nice, good-fitting, like a bowling shirt.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Maybe a soul patch.
Yeah.
That's the
90s look.
It is.
Sure.
It is very much a 90s... But he is always bearded, right?
Yeah, he has
always bearded.
Facial hair. He's tall.
Okay.
Kind of lanky. Always kind of wears like a bucket hat.
Oh, a hat.
So it is
I didn't see the hat
look.
Coming. Yeah.
Bowling shirt is pretty close.
Okay. I mean, Sacramento in the 90s. They were,
yeah, yeah.
Probably were, did at some point or another.
Yeah, it was either that or a Nirvana t-shirt. Those were the two options for men.
I don't think I ever had a bowling shirt.
Me neither. Oh, God, I wouldn't be caught dead. And I was a bowler.
Did you ever start standing?
172 average, 269 high gain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember when people were doing stand-up back then, mm-hmm. even early 2000s, bowling shirt was their go-to comedy shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
And that was before Ooh. Guy Fieri.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like Doug Benson wore bowling shirts. I don't know if I'm making that up, but it feels right.
Sure. Yeah.
So what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite album?
I either like Fashion Nugget or there's this other one called Motorcade of.
That's the first one.
Yeah. Motorcade of.
Conformity?
Generosity. Yeah.
The Fashion Nugget's really good.
So, did any of these take you back to specific memories other than panic attacks?
Oh, right.
And obviously your mom
she's
recovered?
Okay, yeah,
good,
she's okay.
Because you went to an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah. She's okay. But that's the thing. When I thought about coming on here and you guys were like, what's your soft spot? I thought about music first, and I thought about, like, you know, if someone said, like, whatever your favorite band is, like, you got the Cardigans.
Cardigans. Mm-hmm.
If someone was like, man, the Cardigans suck, and you were like, what?
Yeah. I would be like, yeah. What?
I get pissed off. There's only a few, though.
Yeah, there's only a few.
As adults, where you're like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, a lot of people don't know. I'm like, you don't even know.
Yeah.
You don't even know. It makes me so mad. Their merch is so hard to find that Julian
I had to
made
make that.
Me the shirt.
Oh, really?
Shirt. Yeah, I had to get that made, yeah.
Yeah.
I found one Cardigans shirt on all the internet, and I looked. And I'm not good at it, but I did look for a while.
Their merch is impossible to find.
A terrible shirt, and it was a same First Band on the Moon album shirt, but it was white, it was extra large, it had spot stains all over it, and they still wanted, like, $80, which isn't a lot to pay for a real rock shirt from the 90s or 80s or whatever. But the condition it was in and all that, it was, like, ridiculous. It wasn't her size and whatever.
What?
But so, yeah, there's, like, nothing out there. I don't know why. Maybe because they have integrity and they never sold merch. I don't know.
Sounds like an opportunity.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if they'd care if we just started selling Cardigans merchandise. Yeah.
Sounds like an opportunity.
That's what business
shirt.
Is, right? You see a need and you fill it, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Cardigans. Cake, I don't remember. I didn't love their design. Their graphic design of their, like,
it always looked a little bit like a menu.
Oh, really?
Well, I do like that. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know what the art is.
You do love a good menu.
I do love a good menu art, but yeah.
Yeah, there's some.
Did you wear a cake shirt?
I had one at one point. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the thing. It's like I wouldn't. I'm one of those fans that I don't know, like, their latest albums.
No one knows the latest album.
I'm not, like, one of those guys, but, like, for some reason, those two albums in particular, I could listen to.
Do you still listen to them a lot?
Yeah.
I
do.
I think I'm going to start. I like it. I really
do
really
like it. It's
really good. Do they have some personal songs that I just never heard because they weren't hits?
Well, it's all about, oh, God, that song is so good.
What's this one?
Shadow Stabbing.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a cool name.
Listen to
that. Wow, these guys are good.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Adjectives on the type.
Listen.
Writer, he moves his words like a prize fighter.
Yeah, he's so fun.
It's a quirky little poet.
Yeah. And it's so simple, so then you can sit back and go, well, what the fuck is he talking about?
Now, maybe I'm going to say this. Maybe I'm saying this because you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt, but it almost sounds almost like a little bit of a Hawaiian vibe to it. Like an island vibe.
Like maybe we'll hit a luau.
Exactly, right?
Some island vibes to this.
There is. I'd love to hear what he says his influences are. I love when four guys can get together and make a sound like this, and they're all like, yeah, we're on the same page that no one's ever sounded like before.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
It's crazy.
It's pretty wild. It's very different from anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything else from that time that sounded like this. Can you?
Well, I think Beck was like, when Beck came out, it was kind of a similar kind of...
I also think, thing. I only know one, they only had the one hit. I don't know if they were actually a good band or not. But Fastball, remember that song, The Way? Remember
about
that song?
Yeah.
About the true story of two elderly people who got lost in their car and I'm pretty sure died.
Are you telling me a song fact?
Yes.
Oh my God, my heart is exploding right now.
Yeah, that fastball song.
She always puts up with me knowing like the backstory of things because she's like, "Who cares?" But this is I can't believe I didn't know that.
It's a new feeling.
Hey, yeah. but you know what I'm talking? You know that song?
I don't know.
Oh, I'll throw it on. Okay,
you got it already.
Fastball.
Oh, you don't go before you've searched it. Okay, turn up. Oh, I forgot it starts with like a radio.
Oh, right.
Do you remember this song?
Yes, yes.
And I don't know that this totally sounds like Cake, but it's
kind of similar, yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear that a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like around the same time.
Yeah, that time period.
Sex and Candy, that song kind of sounds a little bit like.
I'm pretty sure they're from Austin.
Okay.
I feel like that's how I knew that.
I love this song, by the way. I did want to talk about the 90s.
It's about a real-life elderly couple who disappeared from their home.
Mm-hmm.
The guy read an article in the Austin American-Statesman.
Oh.
Paper. About Layla and Raymond Howard, an elderly couple who disappeared on June 29th after leaving their Salado, Texas home to attend an event 15 miles away in Temple.
Hmm.
And then...
And they never found them?
I haven't gotten to that part of the story, I'm
it's
sure
probably dark.
It's probably pretty dark.
They were like, they weren't found until 2 hours later when they were fine.
But it feels... I haven't super examined Cake lyrics, but it sounds kind of similar. Little storytelling,
right.
Not totally giving it away, not being too personal about it.
Exactly.
Observational. And that's why you're a comedian.
Very good. In high school, it was kind of like, what kind of music do you like? For me, it was like, do you like black music or do you like white music?
Okay.
I said, I like both.
Yeah.
I always like both.
I like both, you know, all kinds.
Yeah, I like all kinds of music. But I always like bands like Cake or, you know, like, I don't want to just say all white music, but something about it, you have the freedom to tell stories and do like all kinds of like different things.
And be a little goofy while you do
it. And be goofy and be sarcastic.
Yeah.
And then the other music I was listening to, like the hip hop and the R&B stuff.
You can't be vulnerable.
It's about love. It's about I'm the best.
Yeah.
You know, you're whack.
A lot of money.
Money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is good too. I enjoy all of that.
Yeah.
Half of me comes from that also.
Yeah.
But then this other, it was just like...
I also enjoy not being whack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
When I can manage that.
Oh, man. I knew some kids that were wiggity whack, and I was...
I knew you were going to go there, Dad.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. you're even wearing your white dad pants today.
It's funny that Patrice O'Neill used to talk about white music and how to black people all white music sounds the same, and which was so funny to me because as a white person, no white music sounds the same. It's like, what are you talking about? Pearl Jam doesn't sound anything like Stone Temple Pilots. But he used to say, what is y'all's thing with Neil Young? Yeah. He's like, white people love Neil Young.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Such a good point because you're like, I don't know. I've never asked a black person if they like Neil Young, but I just assume they're not into it.
Yeah.
He does seem like whatever the polar opposite of hip hop is, it's probably Neil Young.
Neil Young.
Yeah.
He's sitting there.
That's
so funny.
You know, it's when
rest
I was
in peace.
I didn't get into Neil Young died.
No.
I never got into rap because it was about money and I'm the best and all that stuff. And I was always so like, no, I'm not. Money's bad.
Wow.
You know? And then I got older and I'm like, what's wrong? It's like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get the shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as a kid, I felt guilty. Like I wasn't supposed to want that stuff.
There's something else. I hung out with a lot of Filipinos in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And when like Boyz II Men and New Edition was real big and all those bands, when groups started forming, and they were popular on BET, Filipinos also did the same thing.
they would, Jets.
Yeah, or like the Jets.
Yeah.
They would get like three of their friends who kind of could sing, mm-hmm. and they would let's start a group.
Oh. Yeah.
They would start a cappella groups.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, they would start dance groups. Same thing. So I come from that as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. The name Cake is so perfect for their sound.
Yeah.
You know, because they're a lot of their songs Ooh. Are... They are funny. He's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
They're sarcastic a little bit. And to call your own band Cake, I don't know if this is what he really was meaning to do, but as the audience.
Four letters.
Cake.
Simple.
Yeah, simple.
Yeah.
On the surface, it's, you can take it as a joke, like, this is just Cake. But really, he does care a lot about it. It's substance mm-hmm. to, you know, if you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, in passing, it's like, yummy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is yummy.
It's a great name.
Yummy.
Yeah, this is so LCD Sound System. It's crazy.
I know. Pitchfork, hire me.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, this is the one that reminded me of LCD
Love
so
you,
much.
Great song.
I bet they're great when you're super high. I don't get super high anymore, but I bet they're great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You can just zone it. Well, this is what I was doing. I wasn't getting high, but I was just zoning out, and I would just listen to the hi-hat
mm-hmm.
of the drummer, and just, like, for some reason, that would center me in.
Yeah.
And, like, I would not have these panic attacks anymore.
Mm-hmm. Do you... Now,
Cake was your medicine.
Cake was my medicine. I hope they listen to this.
Now, hear me
out. I hope they do, too.
Yeah. Is
there
I'm going
to tag the shit out of them whenever yeah. we put this episode up.
Oh, does part of you, and be honest, miss the panic attacks?
Yeah, it made me way more interesting, that's for sure.
It gave you a thing.
Yeah, it gave me a thing. Oh, man, that was horrible. That was a horrible, horrible, horrible time.
I don't have what I think are full-on panic attacks, but I do get, I guess what I would call anxiety spirals, where I for like half an hour, usually if I wake up at like between 4 and 6 a.m. for some reason, if I start thinking about stuff, I just, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. But I know panic attacks are way worse. They feel like you're physically
dying. You feel like you need to go to the emergency room.
Yeah, I don't have those. Yeah, I just have like these weird like bottomless spiral things that happen.
It is funny how when you find a band or a type of music that works to combat that, mm-hmm. like... We did an episode about this, but not with a specific band, with Emily Heller, because she mm-hmm. has a playlist specifically for when she starts, she didn't say anything about actual panic attacks, I don't think. I think she was just saying when she's going into like an anxiety hole or when she feels really depressed.
It's her feel-good anxiety
list. Nice. Her feel-good anxiety playlist. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of amazing. Of all the self-help books I've read a lot because I need a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things say it's so important to have like a song or a thing that you kind of train yourself to be calmed by.
Mm.
It's like our lullaby.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Do you remember when they stopped?
Oh, when the panic attacks stopped?
Yeah.
Yeah. And at that point I was doing stand-up more.
Mm-hmm.
So then I think combined... With the meditations and the not smoking weed and no caffeine and
exercising. You know, those panic attacks got to be bad to make you cut out
all
that
shit.
Give
up all the fun stuff in
all
your
the
life.
Good stuff.
Isn't it so annoying how hard it is to actually fix something?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
The last thing you want to hear from a doctor is, there's no pill for this. You have to change your behavior. And you're son of a bitch. I'm going to get six opinions. What was it first? Do you remember the first joke that worked?
Yeah, for sure.
Isn't it weird how we remember that? I mean, it's years ago.
I remember I dabbled in stand-up before, and then I kind of stopped. And then when these things happened, I was like, I'm going to go to open mics and mm-hmm. do the whole thing. But I had this old joke about really dumb.
Tell it.
It goes, there's a reason why they don't tell you how much your coworkers make, you know?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because it will destroy any company.
Right.
So bad writing, right? It's already bad writing. It'll destroy any company. Like, if I worked at a grocery store and I was making $8 an hour and I found out my coworkers make $15 an hour, I'm going to be a little upset. So that gives me license to then rub my balls all over the lettuce. You know, it's something like that.
That is, yeah.
But it was a lot of jokes where, like, balls were involved or, like, I'm fucking something or
right.
something's fucking me.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the beginning, that's what it was like. It takes a while to learn your voice.
My God, Kevin.
This is
the
worst.
You and Julian have the same tattoo.
Well, his is, like, got
yours
color and it's not.
Julian.
You want to see mine?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Julian, for anyone listening, I'm so sorry. I got to just describe to you what happened. I looked over and I saw a sun on Kevin's forearm.
It is a sun, right?
Exactly like the tramp stamp that Julian has right above his butt crack.
It's a champ stamp?
It's a champ stamp.
It's a champion stampion.
You guys have the same tattoo. Wow.
Mine's colored in black, though. And I have mine for a good reason, which is badass because my mom made me get it.
Yeah, that's true.
Why did she make you get it?
We were in...
She was like, quit being a pussy, Julian.
A little bit.
I love that.
I was 18, and freshly 18. I was visiting her for the, I don't know, third time or something in Tennessee. And we went on a day trip to Chattanooga. And we were walking by a tattoo store, and my mom goes, hey, why don't we just go in? We'll just go in and see, you know, what it's like. And I'm like, what? All right, whatever. You know, I hadn't ever thought about getting tattoos in my life. And we go in, and I'm like, I like pretend to care and look around and stuff. And then I'm like, okay, let's go. And she's like, oh, well, no, when you come in, you got to get one. And I was like, what are you, one of the bad kids in school? You're making me do this? So, yeah, she made me pick something. And I remember my thought process was, I'll get a son because I'm her son. And then I was like, I want to get it where no one will see it. And this was in 1997.
Oh, my God.
And you thought you'd never wear swim trunks again?
Well, I just thought, I don't know what I thought, but I was like, that seems like a cool spot and nobody will ever see it. And I swear to God, in 1998, every college girl in America got a tattoo on the same spot.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was not a thing when I got it. And then it was everywhere, and I was like, oh, cool. It's
you
just
invented
girls.
The tramp stamp.
I did, yeah.
Amazing.
Well, for everyone listening, we're going to definitely get a side-by-side after we wrap up this recording.
Oh, yeah.
You
can put your forearm next to my butthole.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Oh, okay.
But yes.
Oh, wow. This one flew by.
This did fly by.
Kevin, we're almost done.
What happened?
What happened was I got so into your story that we lost track of time.
Yeah, we did.
It was great.
That was great.
Oh, that was fun. I had a good time.
We're going to chase down the members of Cake.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make sure that they hear this.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Okay.
No, I'm totally good.
All right.
No, I can
talk
to you forever. Your voice is so soothing.
His voice is soothing.
You're like the cake of podcasting.
Aww.
Yes.
So,
you should have your own like meditation app.
I should.
You should.
Okay.
We got to go because now we got to go talk business. Cause...
Quick question. Quick question. You're a musician.
Yes.
You play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Cake musicianship wise? They are excellent. Okay.
I think they're excellent.
I was just curious.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Most definitely. Guitar player is great. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The instrumentation is excellent. Bass players, they had different bass players throughout time, but
that's
they're
surprising.
All mm-hmm. super funky.
Yeah.
And stay in the pocket and know when to open up when it's right. The drummer is solid. Todd Roper, he's great. And I love the lyrics.
Well, that's there beautiful. You go. And there you have it. It's like reading Rainbow. So check out Cake at your local library.
Yeah.
The more right. you know.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank
that
you.
Was awesome.
Bye.
See ya.
This podcast was brought to you by Starburns Audio, produced by Land Romo, and was engineered by Matt Brousseau. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.